We are still early. We wait another 2 more minutes. At exactly 8:10, we can start our puja. Maybe we get 2 person to get ready to light the incense and candle. So let's see and nominate. Yes, yeah, and then see. Yes. Later, another 2 minutes, then you start. Yeah, Sister Nancy, yeah, we can light the candle. The rest can stand, huh? We will commence the puja. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhu, virya, the spiritual faculty. Then, mindfully, we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa Buddhang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujayaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now let us recite the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripaja. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Oh, your leg is okay now, huh? Sadhu. Come, make the offering, the flower. Yeah. Let us rejoice with the offering of flower from your sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, just put that. Yeah. So, good timing, huh? Okay. So now we will have our meditation. Huh? Everybody here before, the new one hasn't arrived. Huh? Never mind, don't worry. Then you all can start your meditation first. Huh? Today we can have more time. Oh, early. Huh? Okay, I give you half an hour. Huh? Anybody got any question with regards to the instruction to meditate or not? If you're not sure, you can ask. How to develop them and all those things. We normally advise people to read up before they come. There are some book on meditation, the blue color, you can get them. Then you go through them, you will understand. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. We will offer the light. Then for those who still need to develop the spiritual faculty and train the mind, you can proceed with your whatever skillful means. You can commence with mind sweeping method followed by metta to decondition your heedless thinking, to stabilize your mind so that the mind can become quiet, peaceful, develop the silence and inner peace. Then later on, after mind sweeping method combined with metta, you will be more calm, more peaceful. Then you have to stabilize that mindfulness within the silent mind, the meditative mind, so that you can use it to develop the meditation. Basically, it's just so simple. Then after that, you will develop understanding through that silent mind meditating on its own. Okay, I will leave it to you to meditate. Then I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed through your meditation or training of the mind. These are mind states that are very useful for you to continue your cultivation when you go back to your own career life or daily life. And the mind that has been trained is very different. It is always peaceful, calm, with the inner awareness within. The mind that is trained listens to you. It's just like you have trained well. You can make full use of this mind that you have trained. Just like how you train your dog. You ask the dog to sit, he will sit. You want it to do something, you can instruct him. So the mind that is trained is the same. When you want to be silent, you will be silent. You want to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness to meditate, you will just do that. But the mind that has yet to be trained will not listen to you. It will become heedless. When you try to silence, it will create thought process, thinking. And the habitual tendency, born of the five mental hindrance, they will keep on arising. And these are the five mental hindrances that constantly arise through your heedlessness. That's why you are not peaceful. So the whole of meditation is to understand that. In order to overcome the mental hindrance, you have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. That's why we are here to train our mind through puja, through meditation, to develop the spiritual faculty, especially sadha, virya, leading to sati. These are Pali words. Sadha is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Virya is a spiritual zeal when you understand how special the Buddha is and how wonderful that teaching is. It will drive you to cultivate. Then, when you start to develop the cultivation, the first thing you do is to train your mind to be aware. The mind that is aware is without thought, quiet, peaceful, silent, and just aware. So that is how sati comes about. Sati is mindfulness, awareness, without thought. Awareness before the knowing is sati. And when sati stabilizes, it will become samadhi, which is the unwavering mind. Collected. With sati and samadhi, your mind is different. You can see things as they are and you can understand a lot of things. That's how the last spiritual faculty of wisdom, panya, arise. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the five mental hindrances to be, then you naturally can meditate. You will be in a meditative state all the while, all the time. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will develop the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Let's chant together. Yeah. Everybody. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunanto sakamokkhadam Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava Samma sambuddho Veja charana sampanno Sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Viditabhu Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukkani Purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo pakhineyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Okay, turn the next page. We will chant the salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Vandami chetiyang sabam Sabbathane supatititang Saririka datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada Vandami cetiyang sabbam Sabbathane supatititang Saririka datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada Vandami cetiyang sabbam Sabbathane supatititang Saririka datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jam. Vedang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. maintain some form of attention. Yeah? Then we will continue your second session. Second session is meditation reporting. Yeah? You can report your meditation. Then after that, you can ask whatever related question, anything you want to understand with regards to the meditation or the teaching, you can ask. Okay, let you just have to raise your hand, then we'll pass you the mic. Anybody on the report? Or you have any written question, you can pass to me. Again, nobody. Okay, if there is a case, there is somebody new, is it? Oh, you are new. Yeah, I give you this two book. You can have it. One of them is a seminar book on success in life. Yeah, via the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. That was based on a seminar paper I delivered 3 years ago. I think slightly more than 3 years. Early August 2013, while in Bangkok. It was an international Buddhist seminar. Then the other one is on meditation. You just read through first. If you want to understand more, maybe there are other books that they have produced based on my talk. So these are from the transcript of my talk. The seminar paper was from the seminar speech that I delivered. Then it is in written form, easier to develop the understanding. Okay. If you don't have any question, then maybe I will read to you this one. I think this book, very few of you have. I give it out to the Tuesday class, if I'm not wrong. This is based on the Klang Talk, understanding awareness in every breath we take, every thought we create, and every move we make in cultivation. Then there's another one, understanding lying down meditation. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding with regards to the posture of meditation. Yeah. Okay, this yellow one is just the last part. The transcript is only on the Q&A section of the recording done during the Dhamma talk. Because somebody volunteered to transcribe that portion. This was based on a talk delivered by me at Klang Tiratana Buddhist Society MBC Center. Dated 27 November last year, 2015. The other one is understanding lying down meditation. This one also based on a short transcript from the Q&A section, also towards the end when they ask questions of the recording done during the Dhamma talk delivered by me. This one is at Wu Ping Ching Se, 6 September 2015. I got a few copies here. On the way out, if you don't have, you can collect them. Maybe I go through the pink one, understanding lying down meditation. This will help those who already know how to meditate. Okay. This 6th of September 2015, sharing at Wu Ping Ching Se is actually based on two parts. First part is the discussion on selected topic, and the topic we select at that time was the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, if I'm not wrong. Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, yes. And session 2 is meditation. The first 1.5 hour is sutta. After that, second half, 1.5 hour is meditation. then the meditation normally is for about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, depending on the time we have. Then there is the second session where we have meditation reporting and Q&A, similar to our Thursday class. So this is based on a question by Sister Susan. Report a meditation followed by Q&A session. She asks, Brother Teo, regarding my meditation, I'm aware that when I'm in the lying down posture, I'm definitely more relaxed as compared to my sitting. During sitting, I'm more aware that there is more tension. So should I just continue to lie down every time I want to do the sitting meditation? So this is a question that many will ask as they go through the lying down meditation, because they find it so different, so easy to meditate in the lying down posture. They are very relaxed. They become peaceful very fast. But initially, it's not so easy. Initially, you tend to have more problem, because the moment you lie down, you tend to be sleepy. These are only for people who already develop the ability to sit, to meditate. Then the only thing they need is to relax properly. Because in the form of meditation, you are in the sitting posture, it's not easy for cultivator or meditator to relax unless you are very skillful. So for those people who have problem with relaxation, which is the first support, you have to learn how to develop the lying down posture form of meditation. And there are reasons for doing it. And also it depends on your progress, the timing and all those things. Anyway, I will read to you the answer, then you will know. Then I answer her. I say, it's up to you, because there are time to sit and time to lie down. If you want to train your mind, it's easier to do it while you are in the sitting posture. Because in the sitting posture, you can maintain awareness or mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati, better. Initially, the sitting posture is usually more conducive. But later on, as you develop the ability to have this meditative mind that is already so quiet, so peaceful, so clear and so tranquil, which means you have developed the ability to go into stillness of mind, which is paucity, rather easily, then when that happens, if you continue with your sitting posture, you will find it very difficult to go into the relaxed state of a free mind. To maintain this state of tranquility and stillness of mind, unless you know how to relax very well. That's the reason why a lot of people, when they meditate until their meditation object become very quiet, very still, like those who do anapanasati, like no more breathing, then those who do rising and falling, like cannot feel the rising and falling, it becomes so subtle. And most of them doesn't know what to do. Then they were told to do sitting touching. And through that, you create more thought, more thinking. Actually, you have reached a stage of cultivation where your mind already very quiet, very still. Your mind is about to enter sati. What you need is a higher, more refined mindfulness to stabilize that quiet mind, that silent mind, that tranquility or still mind, so that paucity can stabilize and become samadhi. But people don't understand, they go and create more thought and labeling through sitting and touching. What you should do is you just silence your mind, don't do anything. But in the sitting posture, it's very difficult to relax. So you try the lying down posture, then it becomes different because your leg is not crossed, your energy is not blocked, and there is less constriction your leg. When you don't cross them, the energy can flow freely. Then you are in the lying down posture, you are in a very relaxed state. That's why when you want to sleep, you lie down. Yeah. But you have to develop the ability to maintain awareness. Otherwise, you will sleep. Yeah. Because that is a posture that is most conducive for people to sleep. Okay, I read on, then you understand. The whole of your body and mind will be in the state of complete relax, even while in the sitting posture. But because of your cross-legged posture, there will be energy build up without you realizing it. Then this energy build up actually restricts the flow of qi, and that is why during that time you are not so relaxed. And if you can, you should try meditating with the lying down posture. Then the mind that has the ability to become so quiet and so still will become a free mind that is naturally relaxed. That's why the two sati and samadhi is not a conditioned mind, it's a free mind that is completely relaxed and just aware. Initially, the mindfulness or awareness is at the anapanasati or the in and out breath region until it becomes very subtle. Then finally, one day, it will drop down to the heart or mind base. Then you just stay there, because that is the location which is very near the gateway to your nature. From there, if you continue to relax and silence your mind, then one day that silence and still pure awareness that is without thought and craving will be able to detect the gateway. Then it will enable the energy to melt there and goes in. The lying down posture is the most relaxed posture, as you have found out on your own. This is a very important posture because in the lying down posture, you do not create any restriction or constriction to your flow of qi. Then chances of going into concentration is much lower because this energy cannot build up. If you are in a cross-legged position, all of the energy, feel and qi will be building up without you knowing it. Then from your spine, it can go up to the brain. Then you can push it up to develop all the jhanas. But if you are in the lying down posture and you know how to relax into it, all this energy field, they will not build up. The moment you relax into it, it will stabilize. Then after that, it will become very quiet and very still until you are very sensitive. During that time, you will come to understand that the lying down posture is the best posture. You can detect the gateway after you had become very still and very quiet. Then all your yin and yang energy, which you have developed and stored up earlier on, whether via mindfulness or energy field training from your qigong, tai chi, tan tian, yoga, Wai Tan Kong or whatever energy field related practice, they will all melt into the gateway. And during that time, the meditator or the cultivator, in inverted comma, which is the form of mind that is in that state, will understand where all this yin and yang energy as it goes through the gateway will be transformed and purified into pure energy. This is the pure energy that is already intelligent. This one is not thought-based because there is no thought behind. You just silent, relax and aware. And the last support is trust. You just silent and don't do anything, no thought involved. Then the pure energy will develop the internal movement, which most people cannot understand because they have never done it before. That is the real opening of all the nadis and chakra within your internal bodily movements. All this will happen without any thought, without any directive or effort, via mental intention from the thought, which means there is no will, effort or mental intention involved. And there is also nobody there meditating. So this is the reason why J. Krishnamurti, via his understanding, said, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. And wherever there is effort, there is also no meditation. All this the cultivator will come to understand that clearly. And the reason why I say initially all of the energy that you build up, they have yin and yang. The reason being because when you are at that stage of cultivation, you have not awakened. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the understanding. That's why you will not have the what they call equanimity within. That's why this energy field, they have their duality. The yin and the yang will be there. Whether you do anapanasati or whatever energy field, through meditation, we are focusing, concentration, absorption, or even sometimes chanting and other things, they will continuously repeat until the energy build up. Then you don't have the gateway to release this energy field. It will build up and give you problem. That's why they have to use it to develop jhana and other things, and use it to develop psychic. Then sometimes for those cultivators who are really along the path of Dhamma, they will use it to radiate love, metta, loving kindness, pure mind state, wholesome mind state. Then as they do that, they will detect the heart, because that what they call metta is from the heart. So if they can develop the real metta or real loving kindness mind field to radiate this pure metta mind state, then this energy can be utilized to open the heart chakra too. But this one is not really the internal movement, but it is still possible, because there were many meditators, I was told by one of my teachers from Thailand. They don't know the gateway, so they have to go through the heart chakra. Then some of them try until very, very, very diligently. Some of them collapse because it's very difficult to penetrate through that type of meditation from the external. But if they persevere, then after a long time, then somehow they will detect it and they will know how to do it. Then that partner will open up. It could be due to their past cultivation or what, it depends. Okay, with that I will continue. When this transformation happens, your mind will become very still, very quiet and very tranquil, very fast. Then after that, you can even maintain that state of awareness or mindfulness in the midst of life, in the midst of your daily life very easily. The reason being, by the time you can detect the gateway, you must have already progressed very far in your meditation. And you must have already touched your nature. You already, like Hui Ning and the other great beings, understood what the true mind is. Means you have already connected to your true mind. So the key to understanding meditation is posture is not critical. You can use any posture. Even in the Satipatthana Sutta, or Four Foundation of Mindfulness Sutta, It is stated clearly that all the four postures, standing, sitting, walking, and lying down, you can use them. But the real wisdom or insight comes from meditation in daily life, your daily mindfulness. After you have developed all this ability to be peaceful, to be quiet, to be aware, and to be heedful, then you will have to come out into your life, daily life, and apply this mind state, which is the awareness or mindfulness within, to insight into phenomena, to insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. We are the direct seeing to penetrate the Dhamma. And later on, to reflect and contemplate via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to prepare the base for receiving truth. Then after that, any of the three turning, either first, second, or third turning of the Four Noble Truths, they can awaken your nature, because by then, most of the time, you are just aware, silent, and heedful throughout the day. Then it can trigger off the awakening anytime, the insight. Yeah. After you have this initial wisdom, only then can you cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness in a more refined and deeper manner. So this is the reason why, for those who understand what the Four Foundations of Mindfulness is, the Buddha says start with Kayanupassana. Okay? The first category of practice of Kayanupassana is what? Yeah? What is it? Anapanasati. Very good. Anapanasati is just the initial training. Actually, you can use any method or any technique or any skillful means. The moment your spiritual faculty is there, sati is there. So when you have developed sati, the next category of cultivation is mindfulness of the four posture. Then third category of Kayanupassana is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. And that is precisely the daily mindfulness. Then only the initial wisdom will arise through that practice or cultivation of Kayanupassana. Your mindfulness will develop. Means your kaya and your sati become one. You are always within the moment, silent, peaceful, and just aware. That's why when you develop just that mindfulness of your four posture, followed by all action and all movement in the present moment, your mind become very different. You develop heedfulness. Means you are constantly aware, ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, or to develop the initial wisdom, leading to your ability to cultivate all the other balance of cultivation within the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. After that only you can contemplate on the Four Elements, 32 part. Otherwise, no point. Because you straight away go in without the initial daily mindfulness wisdom. Very difficult to penetrate anatta, non-self, self-delusion, sakayadity. Then of course the last of the six category of practice within Kayanupassana is mindfulness of the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. So this is why daily mindfulness is most important. Then after that, only like I said here, I repeat this for you, after that, after you have developed this initial wisdom born of the daily mindfulness, only then can you cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness in a more refined and deeper manner. Then you go deep into it. After you have developed all this understanding born of daily mindfulness, you can lie down and do the meditation again. By then, it will be very different, because during that time, you will understand very clearly and you will know what to do. Then you will understand that the lying down meditation has its purpose and function, because to realize the more stable Nibbana, you need a formal posture, and the lying down posture is the most conducive. There are two types of awakening. The first type is via sainthood way in daily life, whereby the realization of Nibbana is just a glimpse or a moment of cessation of form and mind. Those realized by the Sotapan, the first stage of sainthood, and the Sakadagami, the second stage of sainthood. Then there is the second type of awakening that is more stable and lasts longer. Those realized by the Anagami, third stage of sainthood, and Arahant, the fourth stage of sainthood, and the other great beings. For the first two stages of sainthood, the cessation happens only for a moment, or momentarily for one moment of cessation of form and mind. But that's good enough, because that itself is the realization of Nibbana. That moment is enough to awaken, especially the Sotapanna ship and Sakadagami ship, sainthood way. And this can happen in the midst of daily life cultivation, while cultivating the daily mindfulness. One doesn't need to be in the formal meditation posture, but from Anagami and Arahant onwards, usually they will have to go into cessation for longer period. To realize the second type of awakening, one need to be in a more stable formal meditative posture. During the early days, most of them do it in the daily mindfulness or their daily life. We are the first and second turning of the Four Noble Truths. That is, we are hearing the sutta followed by contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into what the Buddha has proclaimed or taught. Then there are some who develop samatha meditation first. We are going into jhana. And that is the reason why they like the sitting posture, which is more conducive. But later on, they still have to release their energy field and return to normal awareness to go into daily mindfulness, to develop the initial wisdom via insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to realize the enlightenment. Then after that, they will sit again and go into the formal meditation to realize the more stable cessation. Then sitting can also awaken them. During the time of Sakyamuni Buddha, a lot of his disciples does it in the sitting posture. But later on, those who understand, they will come to understand that the lying down posture is in fact more conducive. That is also the reason why later on, the Buddha, during his parinibbana, he was in the lying down posture. Then whenever he rests, he was also in the lying down posture. This lying down posture was seldom taught because most living beings doesn't have the ability to meditate that way. If they are not trained, they tend to fall asleep very fast. Then it becomes sleeping meditation and no more lying down meditation. That's the reason why it was not taught, because very few people can do it. And because of that, it was hardly taught. But for those who understand, they will know. The moment you can do the lying down meditation, you are already a very good and advanced cultivator. Lying down posture has its purpose. It is needed when you are developing the second type of awakening, when you go into this so-called cessation of form and mind to realize Nibbana. In the lying down posture, you can develop it very much easily. You can go into it very fast and you can stay there for quite a while. Then it depends. If you are ready and about to do it, you have to develop some form of tactfulness, because you have to let those who are around you understand what you are doing. Otherwise, they may think you are already dead when you go into this state of cessation of form and mind. You are really like a dead person. The only difference between you and a dead person is that you won't become cold. You won't become like a dead corpse. Your body will not rot. Your body will not emit foul smell. But you really got no heartbeat. All of the brain activity and everything else also ceased. No more activity. No more consciousness. Completely nothing. The whole body and mind is like no different from a dead corpse. Except that the stillness, pure energy of Nibbana, they are still within the form. And because that being is in that state, so in order to prevent any confusion, it is advisable to let people know, so that when you go into it, people will understand. But as far as I know, you don't have to worry so much, because it's not easy to go into that state for a long period of time. It depends on your past cultivation, it depends on your understanding, and it also depends on how skillful you are. And most of these cultivators, when they go into this cessation, they will know how to come out. It is automatic. But you cannot predict when it come out, when to come out, because it is the unconditioned. You can only come out at the time when the conditions are there for it to come out. So all these are parts and parcel of lying down meditation. And lying down meditation is only to be done after you have trained your mind very well. After you have developed the pasati, enlightenment factor, until your mind is very stable and very still. And after your daily mindfulness has stabilized, then you will come to understand why this lying down posture is the most relaxed, conducive and appropriate posture. And then you can do it with understanding. Especially at night when you are at home, you have to learn to meditate in the lying down posture so that you can rest well, so that when you arise the next day, you can become very fresh and mindful. The other reason is because human beings spend almost one-third of their time sleeping. If you sleep 8 hours a day, it's exactly one-third of a day. If you sleep 6 hours a day, it's a quarter of a day. So the lying down posture meditation, if you can understand and develop the ability to meditate in that posture, it will help you a lot. It can help speed up your cultivation. This type of formal meditation can be done anytime, even when you are resting. And finally, if you want to understand what is 24-hour meditation, you have to be skillful in the lying down meditation first. And then you will come to realize that you can be mindful throughout the day. And 24-hour meditation is possible. I can share this with you all because this nature of mine had done it before during the early days of its cultivation. So it's all up to you. Don't worry about your posture. Whichever posture that is conducive to you, use it. You only need to understand your meditation focus by inquiry. Do you still need to train your mind? You had already stabilized your 5 spiritual faculty, then you don't need, there is no need to train your mind anymore. Then by all means, if you had already stabilized, means your spiritual faculty training and cultivation. And no need to train your mind anymore, then by all means, whatever posture will also be suitable for you, because by then, your spiritual faculties are already established. So you had already trained your mind, hence you can meditate via a relaxed mind. You can silence your mind easily. And then you can develop whatever understanding you want. Then you will understand very clearly what this form of mind is all about. It is for you to use. So use it to live life, to meditate, to develop the understanding and to cultivate. And it's all up to you. Like I always say that, your life, you decide how you want to live them. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. For you hold the key to your own life destiny. So choose wisely. Then whatever posture that is the most suitable and conducive to you, you will also come to know them. Because by then, very likely throughout the day, you are already heedful and mindful. So there is no difference between standing, walking, sitting, or lying down. No difference at all. All the four posture, you are already in that state. That's why mindfulness has become a part of your nature. Means you are already heedful throughout the day. Then meditation becomes like a part of your nature. You are in that state of heedfulness or awareness throughout the day. You don't have to rely on anything else, like method or technique, to be mindful. You don't need to train your mind anymore. You don't need an object of meditation to train your mind anymore. Then you will come to realize that all these methods and techniques or object of meditation are only initial skillful means used by cultivator who need to train their mind. And it has nothing to do with meditation. It's just to train the heedless thinking mind to be mindful, to be heedful. And a lot of people cannot understand this very important point. That's why all this meditation becomes so confusing. That's why that day I forwarded one email regarding this to you all recently. You all saw it, isn't it? It was written by a monk from SBS by the name of Bhante Kumara. According to that email, he said he had been asked many times and many places about what method and technique of meditation he teaches. He said he don't know how to answer them. And every time he answered them, he find his answer not so clear and inadequate. Then he came out with one answer which he thought was very good. He said, I will try to get it from the email. Sorry. This one was spoken by me. I will try to get it from the email and read it to you so that we can discuss it. This may be good because this can help clear up a lot of things. That's why even monks and cultivators, they are also not sure and are not clear about all this, like what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But what are methods and techniques or object of meditation for are also not clear. So when I read the email, I felt I should send it out to our Kayamita for them to develop the reflection and contemplation so that hopefully they can understand better. Let me try to look it up. Okay, I've got it. According to him, he said, this is from the email he sent out. He said, from time to time, I've been asked this question. Bhante, what method do you teach? And I keep having trouble answering it properly. They want me to name it, and I don't have one for it. Usually I resort to saying, I teach this and I teach that. In that way, it can seem like I have a mother way of teaching. Some time ago, it dawned upon me, I don't teach a method. I am not interested in that. Instead, I teach people. I show them how to free themselves from suffering in the best way I know for them at that time. Every experienced teacher knows that every student is different. To think that one method fits all is unreasonable. Sometimes I conveniently fall back on some sort of standard method too. And that's when I am not operating at my best. That's when I am not using discernment and the results aren't so good. Results are the best when I drop all ideas of method, pay full attention to the person and let wisdom decide. So I don't want to use any specific method, but whatever method that is suitable, even if I have never done it before, that is one that occurs spontaneously to me. So next time, I know how to answer the question of what method I teach, I try not to, he said, I teach people. So this was posted by him, Bhante Kumara, or they call him Kumara Bhikkhu. So with this, we can open for discussion. What are your views and understanding on this, basing on your cultivation's understanding? What are methods and what are techniques? Do you know why he has a problem or not? If I'm not wrong, he studied Bhagavati teaching. And he also used Bhagavati's technique, or the work, basing on the four lines of questioning to teach. And he also shared a bit of The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, a bestseller book by Eckhart Tolle. And because of that, his student asked him, so what is your teaching? What method do you teach? He can't describe them because those teachings are neither a method nor a technique. He is more of an inquiry. With this, I hope you all can have a better understanding of the above topic. Then I have included an appendix. This is helpful. This is from the work, and it can be very useful if you understand. This is actually second turning inquiry. Appendix. What is the work? W-O-R-K. Not working. This one is from Bhagavati's teaching. The work, according to Bhagavati, is a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thought that caused all the suffering in the world. You heard this before? Anybody heard this before? Bhagavati? Some of you must have heard before. I will explain further. It is a way to understand what's hurting you and to address and cause, what's hurting you and to address the cause of your problems with clarity. In its most basic form, the work consists of four questions and a turnaround. Bhagavati said, ask the four questions. That according to her, the work is meditation. It's about opening up to your heart, not about trying to change your thought. And this is very important. It's not asking you to change your thought. It's opening up your heart to understand what is causing you all this problem. Ask the question, then go inside and wait for the deeper answer to surface. Investigate each of your statement from these four questions. So it's actually contemplation. That's why he says silent and wait for the answer to surface. The first question you ask is it true? Means that thought that you arise. And the most common example is when you are unhappy, you are angry. It can be with your spouse or your enemy or your friend or neighbor or whatever. Then your thoughts say, how can he or she do this to me? What right has he got? And because we never question those thoughts, that's why you can never understand how you go wrong. Actually, this is what the Buddha teach you. The Buddha teach you heedfulness, awareness, to be aware of your wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition, your evil roots, your defilements, your evil mental states. So when you are mindful of it, then you will know these are wrong thought. Then you have to arise the right effort to abandon it or prevent it from arising. Then develop the wisdom to root it out. The five ways and all those things. Then in the Sabbasavak Sutta, the Buddha also say the same. Things that are unfit for attention, you should not pay attention. And what are the things that are unfit for attention? Wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Whatever thought, action or speech that you arise, or you pay attention to, or when you dwell into those question or those topic, if it cause your mental hindrance or what they call evil roots to proliferate, to develop more and more, then the unarisen hindrance, they will arise. Then these are things that you should not pay attention to. It will lead to suffering. So things that are unfit for attention, he gives you example. Because when you pay attention, your unarisen mental hindrance will arise. The arisen mental hindrance, they will proliferate, become more and more. So all this is also in the teaching. But Bhayam Kathy used this four line of questioning to turn it around so that you understand. The first question she asks is it true? Means you have to question your thought. What you are telling yourself, is it true? That this guy, because of his unreasonableness or her unreasonableness, caused me to suffer. Then you try to point finger and blame. Then you only need to answer yes or no. Don't do anything after that. Then she said, if no, then you can straight away move to question three. If yes, then go to second question. Can you be absolutely sure that it is true? He wants you to reflect again. Of course, when you are angry or unhappy, you will definitely agree with your thought, isn't it? So actually, all this thought, you never question. The Buddha's advice to the Kalama, you remember? Kalama Sutta? If whatever people tell you to do, what is the criteria? Yeah? You have to check. If it doesn't harm you or harm others, then follow, use, because you got nothing to lose. If it's the truth, you stand to gain. But you all never apply the Kalama Sutta to your own thought. Understand not? What your thought tell you, if it harm yourself and harm others, don't follow that thought. When you are angry, miserable, full of negativity, does it harm you and harm others? Then why you follow that thought? Understand not? This is what Bhayam Kathy is trying to tell you. Is it true? What the thought tell you? Can you be absolutely sure that it is true? Then the third line of questioning is the best. How do you react or what happened when you believe that thought? When you believe that thought, you become more angry. You hate the person more. So this is harming yourself and harming others. But you didn't see, you know. Then the fourth one is his turnaround. You know what she said or not? Who you be without those thoughts? Without those thoughts, you don't have anger, jealousy, unhappiness and all things. Like the spouse, initially when you are courting, everything is very beautiful. Then after marriage, things become different. So before you have the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, these are evil roots. That's why the Buddha said, root of all evil make you evil. It will harm you and harm others. Then you lost your gentleness, pleasantness, your loving nature when you are courting and all those things. Your patience. When you are courting, you tell your girlfriend, don't worry, take your time. I am still early. We are still early. But after marriage, different already. Why take so long? What is going on? Can't you hurry up a bit? So you lost your tenderness, pleasantness, kindness. Because you take for granted already. You become selfish already. You want things your way already. But when courting, you want her that time different. You speak nicely, politely. It's like you are very gentleman, very patient, very kind. then you tend to give in on many things. So this last one is the best. Who would you be without those thoughts? Without those thoughts, you were peaceful, you were happy before that. So you know these are wrong thoughts, thoughts that condition you to do all those things. Then this is the most important part. You listen attentively. She reflected and contemplated into all her suffering, no, Bhayankati. She became so depressed, no, until she almost died, no. Then from the verge of dying, she realized this and came out of it beautifully. That's why he wrote this book, become the bestseller. Then he met one Zen practitioner, also a Westerner, married him, and they even together, I think they try to develop a book to explain the Tao Te Ching, the book by Lao Tzu. You listen, eh? She said, I discovered that when I believe my thought, I suffer like anything. But that when I didn't believe them, I didn't suffer. And that this is true for every human being, not only about me. Freedom is as simple as that. I found that suffering is optional. I found a joy within me that has never disappeared, not for a single moment since then. That joy is in everyone, always. Quoted by Bhayankati. People who do the work as an ongoing practice commonly reported this. Elevation of depression, find resolution, even happiness in all situations that were once deliberately debilitating. What is the meaning? Dibilitating. Debilitating. I think a lot of unhappiness. Debilitating. Nancy, no. our English. Who is the English teacher? Oh, Lily. Oh, sorry. Never mind. Anyway, elevation of depression. A lot of people recovered. Then decrease stress. Live with less stress, anxiety, and fear. Because when you question your mind different, then you realize where you went wrong. Then, like Bhayankati said, it's so simple. Every time I believe that thought, I suffer, I become miserable. If I don't believe that thought, I'm okay. So why do you hold on to your wrong thought? You know what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your misery, your suffering, your fear, your worry. And why you want to hold on to it? And deposit it into your memory. The Buddha say accumulation or attachment. Attachment, clinging, means holding on to it in your mind through memory. That's why the Mahayana are very smart. They translate this as accumulation. You accumulate all your suffering into your brain, your memory. Yeah. That's why the second noble truth, cause of suffering, they don't use. They say accumulation is a cause of suffering. You don't cling and hold and accumulate this in your brain, your scars of memory, you will not arise a wrong thought. Understand? So this is the same. So all this is all in the teaching, in the Dhamma. That's why when you are not mindful, you can never see all this. That's why the Buddha say you must understand what are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are the essential Dhamma. If you don't know what they are, you don't go deep into it, contemplate deep into it to understand the wide meaning of greed, hatred, and delusion, then how are you going to cultivate? And without mindfulness, you cannot see the mental intention behind. And what constitutes evil, you don't know, because you haven't developed the understanding of the three evil roots. So you have to go deep into it. Greed, that word alone, has so much meaning. all of your attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, selfishness, desire, lustfulness, they are all part of the evil roots of greed. Your covetousness, your deceitfulness, your cunningness, your what they call greediness, selfishness, all these are part of the evil roots of greed. Then similarly for the evil roots of hatred, it includes envy, jealousy, unhappy mind, all mental negativity, negative craving. Then delusion is of course self-delusion, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, doubt, and all those things. So this evil root, the moment you understand, you can break free, because you can be mindful of it. Then you can understand why the Buddha called them evil roots. These are the roots of all evil. You cannot have them in your heart, in your mind. If you keep them, it will make you evil. Then they are also called the three poison. Means it's like poison, no? Kill you. Poison you to death. Spiritually, you are like that. That's why the three evil roots are root of all evil. So like your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your selfishness, your fear, your delusion, you cannot keep them in your heart. It will make you evil. That's why you have to arise the opposite, wholesome thought, non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion. But you have to develop them, right effort to cultivate the wholesome thought, wholesome speech, wholesome action that are still not in you. The virtue, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the pleasantness, all of your respect, gratitude to people, your patience, your honesty, your generosity, you have to cultivate them all. And these are very wholesome virtue. They are non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion. That's why they are beautiful thought under no way evil power. From right view, you're supposed to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. And you have to understand this essential Dhamma. If you don't understand what constitutes right speech, right action, and right thought, and right view, how are you going to cultivate them? That's why we have been going round and round all the essential Dhamma. But the important point is to develop the contemplative understanding. That's why I say pariyati, understand it very clearly, phase one of Dhamma. The moment you understand it very clearly, you can cultivate it. Phase two become very easy. Otherwise, you jump direct into phase two, no use. Like all those who just focus on meditation, go for retreat, do all this jnana, jhana, no point. Dana sila, the main support for bhavana, also you don't know what it is. You have not cultivated it. And the essential Dhamma also you don't understand, you want to meditate. That's why not easy. And the whole of Noble Evil Path requires that understanding. Okay, I read on, a bit more to go. Improve relationship. They experience deeper connection and intimacy with their partner, their parents, their children, and their friends, and even themselves. Reduce anger and fear. They understand what makes them angry and fearful. Increase mental clarity. They are able to live and work more efficiently, more intelligently, with more integrity. Then they have more energy. They experience a new sense of ongoing vigor and well-being. Then they have more peace. This is most important. They have more peacefulness of mind. Discover how to become a lover of what is, which is the reality. Means you are advised not to resist the reality. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Whatever that makes you unhappy is always due to yourself. The problem is with you, not the world, not other people. Always remember that. If you perceive the world with negativity, you will suffer. If you perceive the world with wholesomeness and understanding and accept them for what they are, you will become beautiful and peaceful. And this is the Dhamma, seeing things as they are, not what your conditioned mind tell you, not what your selfishness tell you. Yeah. Because your conditioned mind is full of negativity. That's why I wrote here, up there, you remember, last time? This is the most important, how to act in life. This is the essence of the teaching. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then the second part is the true action. This one is the first part. Huh? This one is the second part. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then the second part is acting according to understanding or wisdom is true action. And now you understand that what is memory? All of the accumulation of what? Your past experiences, good and bad. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your habitual tendency, your fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your unhappiness, all these are in your memory. Your self-delusion, your selfishness, your emotional negativity. And from there you act now. How are you going to act? You act out of selfishness, act out of fear, out of wrong view. You recall the scars of memory, all these are wrong thoughts, make you miserable, unhappy, fearful, insecure. That's why memory is knowledge. And knowledge is condition. And you cannot use memory that way. There is a purpose for memory. Memory is for you to recall good things, understand? Useful things. That's why all of your psychological memory, which leads to suffering, misery, you shouldn't accumulate them there. You shouldn't hold on to them. Just like the computer. Yeah? Read only memory or random access memory. You need them only, you access them. But living being different, no. They accumulate all of their wrong view, their scars of memory, their conditioning, habitual, everything they accumulate there. Then they keep on recalling all this, no? Because they say, this is my problem. That's why they become depressed. Cocoon of thought keep on repeating. Yeah. And this one keep on triggering off their subconscious and unconscious fear. That's why even in the dream, you have nightmare and all those things. And you got no peace. Because thought is respond to memory, all this memory. Yeah. So things that are unfit for attention, don't go and accumulate. Forget about it. Past is already gone. Gone. Finish. That's why Guang Qing Lao Ha Sang give a very good advice. Zuo wan le, mei shi le. So the next one you should add is Ting wan le, ye mei shi le. Otherwise, after you heard something, I tell you, you cannot sleep. You become miserable. Like what happened to our Melbourne trip. After meeting my second last teacher, a lot of people got a lot of problem. Luckily, it was clarified. That's why Ting Wan Le, Mei Shi Le. Whatever you listen, even Dhamma or what, if it can help you, use it for the good of the many and yourself. Apply Kalama Sutta. If it brings about doubt, fear, division, and all those things, forget about it. And these are things that are unfit for attention. So whatever that is useful, use it. That's why it's sharing. If it's non-conducive, not useful, harm yourself and harm others, don't apply it, don't use it. Don't even hold on to it or give attention to it. Just respect them for what they are and let things be. Finish. Understand? That's why they are just the way they are. Different people with different mind state, they will share with you different things. Yeah. That's why I always say angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. They are just the way they are. So when you can accept them for what they are, you become at peace. You no longer have the anger, the hatred, the misperception against them. You no longer perceive them with negativity, because they are just the way they are. If it's not because of delusion, they won't end up that way. If it's not because of their selfishness, their emotional negativity, their fear, their worry, their insecurity, they will not behave like that. But like the Buddha say, all this has karmic implication. So if they are not heedful, they want to be heedless, they choose to be heedless, that is their choice. We respect them for having that choice. So don't try to like resist or go against all this, unless they are conditioned. That's why your accord and flow not so real, not what you think. So a lot of this, after you develop your cultivation, the wisdom will enable you to act. So this part is very important. Eh? The first one, acting according to memory, is not acting at all. I think it's understood now. Eh? Clear to you. Because what is memory? You have to go back and reflect. Then you realize, yeah, exactly like what the Buddha said. Before you are enlightened, you will cling on to all this. But the moment you understand and after you have the right view, you straighten your view, then you realize all this has got no meaning. We are like the Buddha said, he no you, he no me. Impermanent lead to suffering. All of mind state, mental process, thinking, sabbe sankhara, they are impermanent, anichang, they come and they go. Then all of sankhara lead to suffering when you give meaning. When you cling, attach, hold, grasp. Now you understand. And all of sankhara, because they are impermanent, is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why he know you, he know me. So when there is he know you, he know me, then who is getting angry? Who is getting unhappy? Emotional. Who is having fear? Who suffer? All this will become clear to you. Then, who to hate, who to be angry with. Just form a mind through delusion. That's why finally you will come to realize not so real, not what you think. Then you can understand life very clearly. The whole lot of phenomena will become very clear to you. Like the Buddha said, everything arises when the mind arises. That's why our mind is a forerunner of all things. Then you will also come to understand that within the existential world, everything is dependent originating, following the 12 link, paticca samuppada. And there is no reality. It's just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Mind make ade. That's why the whole of existence, it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness, nothing else. And how real can consciousness be? So this part, memory, we already gone through. I think by now you should have developed the understanding. But the second part is very important. Acting according to wisdom or understanding is true action. So when you act, you don't always recall through memory, you know. Understand that? So that all this conditioning, wrong view, scars of memory, all will not come out. Your selfishness, your fear, your insecurity, all this will not come out. You act according to wisdom, means what? After you have contemplated, reflect, develop the cultivation of the Dhamma, you will have insight into phenomena and understood many things. So these are the Dhamma, essential Dhamma. These are the wisdom you have developed. Then when you understand, you just apply them. These are evil root. makes the form and mind evil, brings about coming downfall. These are the things that is unfit for attention. Not suitable for cultivation. So you have to arise the right effort to abandon them if they arise. Then arise the right effort to prevent them. And this is constant cultivation. Until you have this understanding become a part of you, then the moment you see any phenomena within the world, you don't need to remember through memory. What did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? This is our knowledge. You know, you act according to that, you cannot free on. Asana. Wisdom is understanding that is already inside you. You have already contemplated, reflected, understood. If these actions are wrong, you cannot perform, you cannot do, because it brings about karmic negativity. These are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil. Law of karma is infallible. You have to be very, very mindful. Otherwise, you will fall. And like the Buddha said, after the 5 daily contemplation, if you have reflected on it, we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are every moment, every instant because of karma. So when you realize this fact, this truth, the first right view, you will wake up. That's how you know 99.999% of your life depend on karma. So forget about other things. Feng shui, medium and all those things or what people tell you. You make sure you take care of karma. Then you will take care of your life. Then you will have beautiful life. You reap what you sow. Then do your duty. That's why this is wisdom. Acting out of wisdom. Acting out of understanding. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate the three turning until all this become very clear. Until this understanding is there. Then whatever the condition, you don't need to recall memory. Spontaneously you will know how to act on. And that is real wisdom. Like Gong Qing Lao Sang say, people ask him, what is wisdom? You know how he answered. No? He said, wisdom is very strange. Sometimes that form and mind, that cultivator, they already awaken, have insight, have wisdom, but yet they don't know. Yeah. But the moment they encounter a situation, I say, they know how to act. And that is wisdom. 那才是智慧. If you in the midst of life have a lot of problem, you have a lot of wrong view. You don't have wisdom. You may have a lot of knowledge. You may be very intelligent, very knowledgeable, but you don't have wisdom. That's why you have a lot of problem in life. But when you have cultivated correctly, developed the right understanding, you will realize that you will have more and more peace. You are in more harmony with nature, with mankind, with humanity. You have less what they call thought. Because a lot of things no need to pay attention on. Thing is just the way it is. That's why you can see things as they are. You are always at peace, you accord and you flow and you just arise. Wherever there is condition, you will know what to do. When there is no condition, you will just silent, smile and move on. Yeah. And you will be at peace because you have noble evil power. What is noble evil power? Incapable of negativity. And that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You have right view. You are very noble in your understanding of life. That's why they are called noble one. You are very noble in the way you arise your thought process. The way you act and the way you speak. How you communicate with people. Your interaction with people, your relationship with people and Mother Nature. You are very noble in all aspects. And the way you live your life is in accordance with nature's law and understanding. That's why you will have all this noble eightfold path factor of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort, you will constantly apply them. Until it become a part of you. Then only the training finish. Then after that, you will go into sati and samadhi, to do the four foundational mindfulness, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. And then your wisdom becomes different again. Then everything becomes so penetrating. Then you can root out all this defilement where you know that they are not real. That's why I say you can learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then you can see beyond form. Then form loses its power to deceive you, to delude you, and to condition you into negativity. Then you go into the mind, the four aggregate of mind. Feeling is the same, impermanent, lead to suffering. Feeling is non-self, empty. Perception is the same. Arise, pass away, you didn't die, so it can never be you. And because the arise and pass away is impermanent, you give meaning, attach, cling and grasp, you will give rise to suffering. So sankhara is the same, all of mental state, mental activity, mental intention, they lead to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling, because they are impermanent, no meaning, no reality. But when you give meaning, grasp, hold, cling, your thought will rise. Then all this thought will create sankhara. Then your views and opinion will lead to conflict, argument, misunderstanding, war and all those things. Come from where? Sankhara. Difference in opinion, views, and all the wrong view, born of the egoic mind, selfishness, craving, violent, emotional negativity, fear and all those things. These are the evil roots that make the world what it is. So through this understanding, you penetrate. Then that mindfulness, together with the stability of it, give rise to samadhi. Then sati and samadhi enable you to see things as they are very clearly. Then you are insight into phenomena, awakened to the three universal characteristics. Then your mind liberated. That's how enlightenment in the here and the now can happen. Then the mind starts to develop that wisdom that will enable it to become very quiet, very peaceful. Then finally cessation, which is nibbana, can be realized. That's how awakening can take place. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this book, I leave it here. Because a lot of these transcripts, I realize people don't really read, no? And I got not much time to go through. Then every time when there's condition, then only I look at it. Because somebody in Klang, I went down there to give that talk that time. He said, "Brother Teo, I think there is one book that I need to take from you." I said, "What book?" I also didn't know. Then later on, somehow it zero in, must be one of these two books, the thin copy that I never give to people on. I think we printed it for Wu Ping Jing Sir and Tuesday class, I remember. It was in my house. That's why I took a bit here. You want more, you let me know. And this one is actually for cultivator. Most of these are very difficult to understand unless you have meditated and cultivated. Anyway, you are interested, you have the condition, you can have it. You have any here or not? Don't have? Or one or two copies? Right? Okay. You need more, I still have, I think. Yeah. Oh, yellow one you don't have. Oh, yeah. You can have it still. Then you all can ask of Suyan. If you need more, you let me know. I bring the next class. Okay, any other question or whatever topic that you want to discuss? Now I realize it's more important to go into cultivation. You have enough Dhamma.
Very good evening, brothers and sisters. I have a few things. First one is next week, Thursday, there's no class. some of us, 10 of us, are lucky enough to have a private class with Brother Teo in Kota Bharu. So there's no class here next Thursday. And exactly 2 weeks from now is the Mid-Autumn Festival, Mooncake Festival. So I was just suggesting to Brother Teo, instead of regular class, maybe we have a little bit of fellowship. So we gather, you bring your mooncakes or you bring your tea or whatever, then let's just eat and have a chat. And the reason why I was suggesting this to Brother Teo about the fellowship is that I kind of noticed that the class, every time Brother Teo asks any questions, any feedback, everybody look down. But the reality is, just like true Malaysian style, when the presenter, anything, any question, no. Then the moment the seminar finished, well, everybody crowd around him and they start asking questions. It's always like that. It's always like that. And then on reflection, I was thinking that perhaps if Brother Teo is the professor or the lecturer, then after the lecture, normally in universities you have tutorials and all that. So on one hand, he presented the material and we kind of think that we understand. But in reality, when there is a problem, you start solving the mathematics or whatever, you find that you cannot get answer. You're stuck, you cannot get answer. So you go to a tutorial class and then the tutor will try to explain to you and you think you know, you try, but you still cannot get answer. So anyway, so I hope that the fellowship will be a little bit more informal, then you can just sit and talk and hopefully without a mic recording, then some of you may just open up and ask questions. And part of the reason why this is being done is because I noticed that a lot of people have a lot of problems. Lots of problems. And then at this moment in SJBA, we have Wasa and we have a visiting monk for Wasa. And this very young monk is doing psychology. So he's doing a master's in psychology. So we say, okay, catch hold of him. And then we have a Saturday session, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You call it counseling, discussion, whatever. You just come. And then notice that quite many people, a few came. And maybe let me share a few cases. There was one last week. He wasn't around. So this lady in the administrator, he said, "Oh, Suyan, there's a guy with a problem. Do you think you want to talk to him?" So she seems to be pretty good at spotting all those people with problem. And then I found out how she do it. Because those people with problem don't have eye contact. They always... when they talk to you, they don't look at you. They don't. So she's pretty good. So there's this case, and allow me to share this. So there's this case. So in the end, I go and speak to him, and then he said, my mother got a kidney problem, kidney failure. I say, oh, that one, no problem. That one I can help you solve because I got a kidney plant outside there that will help. Yeah. Then he said, oh, my wife like that, my wife like that. And I say, oh, okay. Is that all? And he said, is that all? Then after a while, he said, actually, I slapped my wife. Then I asked, why are you here? And he said, oh, I come here, pray to the Buddha, and ask for forgiveness, and say sorry. I say, if you slap your wife, you can say sorry to your wife. What for? You say sorry to the Buddha, and your wife still don't know you say sorry. Of course, she's still angry with you. sometimes, to us as a third party, look at it, it looks, hey, why like that? But to the person that's having a problem, it's like Brother Teo saying, this is my problem, I've got to solve it, and keep on looking. And the more you look at the problem, you become more like a cocoon, like Brother Teo saying, become like wrapping yourself up, wrap, until you become depressed. And the guy was... So there are many, many such cases. I hope when it become a little bit more informal, it's not recorded, then maybe more people will just chit-chat. And then maybe like a tutorial class, so somebody has a problem and you cannot solve, and then other friends will come and say, hey, let me help you. We can solve. So sometimes by yourself you solve, you don't even need the tutor. Right? So as you do that over and over again, applying the Buddha Dhamma as Brother Teo has explained, Actually, to me, most of the time, whatever Brother Teo says and whatever the Buddha says is so true. And most of the time, if you start looking at the problems, people's problems or your problem, it always starts from the First Noble Truth. It is always start with the dukkha. Birth, old age, sickness, death, separated from people you love, with the people that you don't like, with the people not getting what you want, and then this body of mind, the body and the mind and all that. So these are the cause of your problem. It's almost certainty is one of the eight, and usually it's the first seven. And then the eighth one, you'll never admit that is your arises from you. Maybe you can see it. But that's the reality. And the moment you identify that the root cause is from the First Noble Truth, I think the rest is quite easy already. You must start with the right view, like Brother Seo says. So if you say sorry to Buddha, of course, wrong view, is it? It's not going to help you. So anyway, if it works out, the mid-autumn gathering, if it works out informally, then maybe we assign either the first week of the first Thursday of the month or the last Thursday of the month, we do it a more informal session. Yeah. Like you bring a problem, let's see how we can solve it together. So maybe Brother Teo, would that be okay?
Okay, I think it's a good suggestion. Let me just summarize it. It will be better this way. Because I realize the message that need to go in is your life. You better reflect deep into it. What is it that you want to do with your life? If you don't get that right, you will never become serious in the cultivation. And as long as you are not serious, you cannot progress. You cannot receive. Yeah. Otherwise, you come like those who have problem, go to HJBAC, Suyan. Once the problem gone, you never see them anymore, I tell you. And that is not the intention of the Dhamma. Yeah, no point. Because this is not the way. It cannot solve their problem. It cannot root it out. It's temporary. And this temporary thing, not much use. Yeah. The other thing that Suyan mentioned, I think is good. It has to be informal. Yeah. But informal, I realize the best way is don't sit like that. Remove all the cushion. Just come forward like that. And then I realize a lot of people ask questions. Like when you are very eager to listen. Then one by one, they will put up their hand like that. Where there is no mic to record. But the disadvantage is if there is no mic to record, people don't learn. Understand? What has been spoken is just like a discussion gone. Because this Dhamma, I tell you, just like Suya mentioned, the professor teach, you think you understand. Tutorial question come out, you cannot do. Then tutor help you, you do. But can you apply what you have learned? You cannot. Application is the real understanding. That's why when I was in the university, I realized a lot of those theories that I learned, no use. I actually don't like those type of teaching. I like those type of teaching that I can apply when I came out. So to tell you frankly, as an engineer, after my second year, completed my second year, it was a 4-year course, I got no confidence to become a civil engineer. But I know next to nothing about design. And I don't understand how an engineer do all those design and function. Until I went to third year, but yeah, I learned a little bit more. I still feel that it's not sufficient. Wow, final year was the best. Final year, everything I want was there. So to me, that engineering course, 2 years can finish. 2 years, you can finish. You don't need 4 years. Because the final year paper was so fantastic. Everything that I need was there. I like the management paper. No? Wow, management paper, I learned so much thing. No? And that one, all I can apply on. Of course, you start with organization theory. Eh? Then you got your method study, time study. That one for us engineer, very useful. Especially in factory, manufacturing and other things. Then we have this, what they call the various motivation theory under organization theory, management theory. Then we got land law, contract law, financial statement, taxation. Wow, all these are very interesting. No? That's why I pay so much attention to that. Final year, I did very well. I did very, very well. And all the final year paper is all about what I need when I come out to work on. That's why I like those courses. Then I look at application. Then the funny thing is I went to the library. I didn't really look for engineering book. I read most of the time all the other books. I like those Einstein theory and all those things. The great genius, the scientist, the philosopher, the thinker. I go and read those books. Very strange. I also don't know why. Then there are many things that you will come to know that are useful. Because the main thing is how to apply all this teaching, this understanding. Otherwise you listen, it doesn't benefit you. If you don't apply it, you don't develop the seriousness of cultivating it, it can never go in one. Because like I mentioned the other day, I wrap it off already, sorry. Cultivation is a full-time job. That's not. Full-time doesn't mean you have to retire. Full-time is 24-hour. Initially, in your waking moment, you have to develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness to cultivate. Then only you can progress. That's why initially you must have a good religious routine to keep you occupied with the cultivation, to train your mind to have mindfulness, heedfulness, the spiritual faculty. Then when it stabilizes, all of a sudden you realize throughout the day you can be in that meditative state. And that is the beginning of real meditation. Don't think that when you reach that, you already advance nearing finishing or completion or graduation. No, that is the beginning of real cultivation. But after that, you will progress very fast and you have a lot of joy. But by the time you can hit that, you already very, very good. Yeah. Means you are already very stable. You have already committed yourself and worked towards it. Yeah. And a lot of people can progress with that understanding. Okay? Yeah. We better end. Okay, 10:30. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, yeah, 2 weeks from now. 8 o'clock, start with 8. So you can bring a little bit of food, no need much. Potluck. Potluck Kam Mooncake Festival. Yeah, I will bring some mooncake. Yeah, how ah? How ah? Got mooncake or not? Yeah, don't worry. Each person bring a bit of thing. Huh? Yeah, yeah, no need, no need. I think sure you got mooncake on the Mooncake Festival. A lot of people will have. I will receive a few, I know. So don't worry, huh? So make it a what they call fellowship where you can just interact. Huh? Then we can have a what they call heart-to-heart talk an open discussion. So you don't have to be shy. Just ask. I realize Akayamita, unless those who really know me, they dare not ask or not. I don't know why they are so scared. I'm not going to eat you out. And I already told you, don't worry about the question. Forget about the question, right or wrong also. What I need is condition to speak, to express the truth, so that it will link one. Sometimes the question can be very like simple or no sense at all. But the moment you ask, I can connect it to the Dhamma. Then I will know what is essential for a living being. But you have to listen attentively. Then only it benefit. Then put it into practice. Most important is put it into practice. Otherwise, like they say, go in left ear, come out right ear. Then it like entertain your mind. Understand? When you listen, very happy, entertaining. Oh, what you created a lot of joke. Actually, I don't like joke, but sometimes it's humorous, understand? It adds in some humor, that's why I don't mind. But if it make you heedless, of course, it will become the opposite. Then you always remember only the joke, the humor, and not the Dhamma. But sometimes the Dhamma is in the humor, understand? Or in the joke. So if you can catch them, of course, it's good. Okay, thank you so much for all the good feedback and sharing. We should thank Sri An. He did a lot of good work. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, Mi Fong has been a good support for Sri An. The two of them actually contribute a lot towards our Kayamita function and also SJBA. And I think they have helped many people, many, many people. A lot of these people who came to the class, mainly is Sri An and Mi Fong. Then a lot of them, I think, they know that they have benefited. Okay, we do the sharing of merits. Then after that, we end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Sadhu, sadhu.